Hi guys, welcome back to 51 Wishes. I'm so excited to be back. It has been so long. I'm sorry that it's taken me so long to upload. I had a really bad cough starting in March, and I couldn't even get through a sentence before I started coughing, so it was just hard to even talk to my coworkers or my parents or, you know, on the phone or anything like that. But I did go to the doctor a few times, and after process of elimination on everything, we found out that it was just asthma. So it is all taken care of now, and I am much, much better. I can actually get through a sentence without coughing, or, you know, get through a whole conversation, rather. But I am very, very happy to be back. I am really ready to start doing episodes every week again. So yeah, that's just where we are now. But I figured since we're in off season, I could go through season 9 and hopefully get all of season 9 episode chats done before season 10 airs. And I don't know about you guys, but I loved season 9. I thought season 9 was one of their best seasons. Maybe that's just me being biased because it's the most like recent one, or maybe I'm just, you know, I like the most recent things. But oh well. So I figured that I think we already did 901 Rattlesnake City. So I figured we do 902, which was That Kind of Heat. This episode broke me. I cried at the end. I don't know if any of y'all did, but I did. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. So it was directed by Reza Tabrizi, I think is how you say the name. And it was written and produced by Michael Brandt, Derek Haas, Andrea Newman, Michael Givery, something like that, and Kimberly Dome. All right. So, kind of the storyline stuff here. This is the episode right after the ambulance crash, like when Halleck follows the ambulance and hits them, and Sylvie loses control, and they go over the overpass down an embankment. It was scary. And then, of course, they, you know, I'm glad that that wasn't the season finale for 8 because that's what it was supposed to be. But I'm glad we only had to wait a week to find out, you know, they were all alive. It's fine. You know, we're good. But they're fine after the ambo crash. They get themselves out, which I thought was badass, for lack of better words. Sylvie kicking out the windshield, you know. I wouldn't have the guts to do that, I don't think. I think I'd just be like, what just happened? What's going on? What am I doing? I would be scared out of my mind. But nope, she just, you know, figures it out and does it. We all need a friend like Sylvie. But they're fine. Mackie just has like a cut on her forehead. Nothing too serious. But they get themselves out. And then Truck 81 shows up. And what does Matt do? Matt jumps out of a moving truck to go jump down the embankment and get to Ambo faster than Kid can turn around and drive down there safely. Because who wouldn't? Who wouldn't do that? Matt Casey will for you. They also end up rescuing Halleck. And another ambulance takes them, which I am so happy that they did that because I'm like, I don't know if I would have. I mean, you already ran us off the road. You've been tormenting Sylvie for the past episode. I don't know if I would. I'd be too, you know, but at the same time, that is their job. You know, they're there to help people, good or bad. So I don't really know where I'd go with that. But of course, after the crash, Gallo checks on Mackie and makes sure she's all right, you know, all that stuff, cutesy cutesy. And both Brett and Mackie just say, I'm not going to med, I'm fine, like, let's just get back. So they ride back with Truck. Now, Chief automatically offers them like a ride home or a counselor or, you know, anything kind of low-key because they can't get a new ambulance until the next day. So they can't even go back into service yet, which I would honestly take the going home option to kind of decompress because that would be a very scary day on the job. I don't know if I would be able to stay at work like they did, but, you know. Now, this is where Mackie and Joe are. And of course, Mackie is trying to convince Joe that she is fine. She's good. I'm all right. And he is just like hovering, like, you need to go to med. If you have a headache, you need to go to med. If you have this happen, you need to go to med. Blah, 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 blah. Like, all over her. Which, I mean, I wasn't like a huge fan of the big brother aspect of this. I mean, I like that he looked out for her, but not like, oh my God, like, this happened and you need to do this and you need to do that. And he's like mother hen. So calm down, Joe. But she convinces him that she's all right. And then we go out to the garage or the apparatus floor, and Kelly comes out to talk to Stella about the rig, about the Ambo, and see, you know, if it's even salvageable. And she tells him that it's totaled. There's no way they're saving it. It's not going to come back to us, you know, whatever. But he's not really thinking about the ambulance itself. Shay's door is on that ambulance. So what does he do? He gets in his little teeny tiny Mustang and he goes to the junkyard. Now the junkyard tells him, you can't come in, you don't have the right files, blah, blah, blah. So no, we're not letting you go to get this vehicle. Okay, so our friend Severide here decides to drive around back and climb a fence with barbed wire, get the door, and put it where? In his little Mustang? I don't even think if you folded the seats down, you could fit a door in there. Like, what is he thinking? Did he tie it to the roof? That would be an interesting sight. So, that's that. I still want to know. So, if any, you know, Chicago Fire producers or whatever want to chime in on this on Twitter, please let us know how Kelly got the door back to 51 and on the new ambulance. I mean, on the new ambulance is whatever, but I want to know how he got it from the junkyard to his car and where he put it, because it wouldn't have fit, I don't think. So then we come out to the, I think it's apparatus floor. I don't remember exactly where the scene was, but Bowden comes out and he looks like a proud papa because, oh, wait, never mind. Scratch that. Reboot. He comes out after shift where Stella is running Girls on Fire. Sorry, it's been a minute since I've seen this episode. I have it all written down, but I'm like, where did this happen? But he's coming out after shift, and he sees Stella running Girls on Fire. So, you know, he looks like a proud papa, and she tells him about Kylie not showing up. And she tells him, like, she was one of my best recruits. She got half these girls here, but now she's not answering my texts or my calls or anything. And he tells her it sounds like she's given up, which is not like her. So he basically tells her, you know, don't give up on it. Try and figure it out. Try and see if you can find her, see what's going on. And then he helps her with replacing the, I don't even know what it's called, piece of wood or whatever for a Mayday drill, I think. He had asked Sylvie if Gianna had already left, and Sylvie had told him yes. And you know, Sylvie tells him, I wish you could have boosted her up a little bit more after the crash. And, you know, she's really amazing, even if she is still really new. But he finds her at the high school and she's running the bleachers. But they start talking and she admits that she may not be cut out for a busy house. She thinks that she's cut out for a slower house, you know, a little bit more downtime and stuff. And he tells her that when her brother actually passed, that he promised to take care of her. And even though it pains him to say it, he thinks 51 is exactly where she needs to be. And I agree with him because I really liked Becky, but she left us. So after that, our friend Stella finds Kylie at a donut shop and goes to talk to her because she's not showing up to Girls on Fire. And we find out that Kylie's parents are struggling, and they were struggling even before COVID hit. But now that COVID hit, you know, they're really struggling. So she is working at a donut shop to help pitch in and help make some money. And I mean, that's, to me, that's amazing for a teenager to do. I've been very lucky that my brother and I did not have to have that. We did get jobs at the age of 16 because my parents had always raised us to, you know, buy our own stuff, you know, work for what you want. We had to work for what we wanted. We didn't really get a lot of things handed to us, which, I mean, I love. I love that my parents raised me that way, because I would not have half the things or half the, you know, I wouldn't be as grateful for it. So, unfortunately for Kylie, she has to do that and has to help her family out. And I mean, I would in a second if I had to. If I had to jump in and help my parents out with anything, I would do it because I love my parents to death. So, Mom and Dad, if you're listening to this, there's your confirmation. So later on in the episode, Stella actually goes back to the donut shop and she asks Kylie, like, how are you with filing and answering phones and stuff like that? Well, turns out Stella has asked Bowden if he needed an assistant and then offered Kylie a job as chief's assistant, which was awesome because now she can do Girls on Fire and she'll also be working at the firehouse, and it's a little bit of a pay raise if I remember right. So the next day, or next shift rather, Severide comes out of his little tiny Mustang with the door and he wheels it up on one of those little UPS cart thingies. I can't think of what they're called. They're used to move like heavy boxes and stuff. So he's got the door on it. And Casey's like, oh my God, is that what I think it is? And they end up putting the door on the new ambulance. And, you know, Mackie comments how she likes Shay's name and asks, you know, was she a Medicare? And Kelly tells him, like, it kind of gets emotional at this point because you're like, oh, you know, it's been 6 seasons and we hear little bits and pieces about Shay. But the way Kelly explained it was really emotional. But he tells everyone that, you know, Shay was part of the DNA of 51, that she was part of the heart of the firehouse. And soon enough, the people that knew Shay or the people that didn't know Shay are going to outnumber the people that did, which is just a fact of life. It's sad, but it's a fact of life. But everyone kind of leaves after that, and he notices Casey looking at Brett. And he's like, if you want cigars later, figure it out. Wipe that look off your face. True friendship right there. So now we're going to go into kind of the funnier moments rather than the storyline. First of all, Chief does not know how to use a copy machine because he's probably never had to, because the bullpen has always been full. So Connie or Marcy or whoever his assistant has been since Connie's been gone, rest in peace, has done it for him, and he does not know. So Gallo and Ritter come to help him. And then they're like, oh, we'll help out. We'll pitch in the bullpen. And then they get roped into being pitched into the bullpen. So that was kind of a funny storyline where, you know, Gallo and Ritter don't know what they're doing, but they're trying to do their best. Then after shift is ending, before the door comes in, Casey comes in, he like claps. He's like, all right, who's going to Molly's? Very awkwardly for our friend Casey. And he asks Mouch and Herman, they're like, yeah, we own the place. We run the place. Like, we have to be there or you don't get drinks. And Mouch kind of notices it, looks at Herman after they leave, and he's like, that was weird, right? And Herman's like, yeah, that was something. So before Kelly and Gallo leave, Gallo has been trying to locate the ambulance before Kelly goes to the junkyard, and He tells Kelly that he called the tow company. They sent him to CPD. Then they sent him back to the CFD. And the only person that knows where the ambulance is Chief Walker, and he's off shift. So Kelly tells him, hey, I know where he has breakfast. It's right on the way home. I'll take it from here. The smile on Gallo's face was priceless because he's like, okay. Kind of gives a little smile and like, not even like a little smirk, like a little smile, just like, okay, I guess I did help out, you know? So those were the funny moments for the episode. Now, the Stella Ride moments, there's not much in this, but it's just when Stella tells Kelly, like, 61's totaled, Brett and Mackie are lucky to be alive and unhurt, and Kelly just kind of looks uneasy, which I don't know if Stella really noticed. Like I said, I haven't seen the episode in a minute. I probably should have watched it last night because I was doing this today, but I did not because I just totally, I had a plan and then forgot the plan, so. I'll get better at this, I promise. So now the Bretzy moments, because we all love Bretzy. At least I hope some of my listeners like Bretzy. I can't be the only one. So at the beginning of the episode, Matt is constantly radioing for 61 because he does not know how to reach them. They're already in a crash. Their radios are probably disabled. So he's like, you know, 61, do you hear me? 61, come in, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Now, when they get closer, this is when Matt sees the rig on the down the embankment, and he jumps out of the fire truck that is moving, jumps down the embankment, runs towards the rig, and right as he gets to the rig, Brett is kind of like falling out and kind of standing up and then helping Mackie out. So after they get back to the house and everything is kind of, you know, calmed down and settled up, Casey checks on Brett. And he does not tell her that he moved or jumped out of the moving fire truck. But this is where Brett says, you know, it's always been you. And you're the one that's always been there. And Casey kind of smiles a little bit because he's cute. He's cute little Casey. And Brett appreciates it. And then later on at Molly's, Gallo kind of recounts the entire scene of him jumping out of the fire truck and running down the embankment. And he's like, he's not even exaggerating it. He's telling it like it happened. And Brett kind of gets up and is like, oh, I forgot I had to go help my friend with something, and leaves. So Casey kind of watches her, and then he ends up going after her. And she shows up at Brett's apartment. Is like, you've been avoiding me at the station. You've been avoiding me at Molly's. What's going on? And she just kisses him. And they start making out. She stops him a little bit later and asks him if Gabby came back tonight, would he go with her? He tells her he does not know. And then she asks him to leave. And that's kind of where the episode ends. Which, I mean, the look on her face, she was like crying and oh, so sad. So I found a few weird little notices in this episode when I last watched it. But the first one is, where does Severi put the thing in the door? We've already discussed that. Brett still has a landline phone. I saw that sitting on her like end table by her couch. She still has a landline. Who does that anymore? Who still has a landline? I do not. Everything goes through my cell phone. And I think that's how my parents do it too. We had a landline when I was growing up, but we have not had one since like 2014, 15, something like that. And then also, Casey ends up leaving his jacket at Brett's place. And as far as I know, has not been returned. So hopefully we'll see some of that in season 10. I really want to see in season 10, like, domestic Bretzy. Like, living together, cooking together. Even the four of them in the loft, like, Severide and Kid and then Casey and Brett. The four of them in the loft having a game night. That would be great. So if anybody's listening to this from, you know, producers or whatever, I doubt it. But if y'all are, a game night with the four of them, and invite Joe and Chloe, and you can invite Bowden and Donna and Mouch and Trudy. That would be great. Like a whole firehouse game night. It would be great. So on to my favorite quotes for the episode from Matt. He just says, that's Beth's rig. Showing he loves her. So cute. Well, not loves her, but he cares. It's always been you, which is what Sylvie said. So cute. This part, I about died at, because she goes to Stella, and Stella starts randomly talking to her about something. She goes, I basically just told Casey that I'm in love with him. And, like, pulls Stella into the coat room, or the turnout room, and is like, I'm just going to pretend I didn't say what I said. It's fine. So at Molly's, the other one is, Matt asks, Sylvie, can I get you a drink? And, of course, Cap goes, you never offered to get me a drink. And he just, shut up, Cap. And that ends this episode. Now, I know it was kind of choppy, and I know it's kind of rusty because I haven't done this in a while, but we're going to get back to it. I'm going to watch the episode beforehand. That way I know what I'm, you know, talking about. And I hope you guys liked it. Like I said, I know it was really choppy, and I know it was kind of, you know, spotty here and there. But we'll get better at it. And next week, the episode should be up on Saturday. I did have a family picnic yesterday, so I did not get a chance to upload. We were at my mom and dad's house for a while, so I did not get a chance to do it yesterday. But let me know your thoughts. You can find me on Twitter. I think it's at 51 Wishes Chicago. Let me double check here. Make sure. Maybe not. Okay, here we go. I am at 51 Wishes Chicago. And then I don't have an Instagram or Tumblr or anything. Just I usually do most of it on Twitter. So if you want to get a hold of me, Twitter is the way. And that's all I have for you guys. So I hope you guys enjoy. And I'm looking forward to doing weekly episodes again. I'll see you guys later. Bye.